However, the board may, one, acknowledge receipt of the information, two, refer the matter to staff for further study, or three, refer the matter to a future agenda. In compliance with Government Code Section 54957.5, agenda-related documents that have been distributed to the board less than 72 hours prior to the board meeting have been available for review on the district website or at the district office. All matters listed under consent are those in which the board has previously deliberated or which can be classified as routine items of business. An administrative recommendation on each item is contained in the agenda supplements. There will be no separate discussion of these items prior to the time the Board of Trustees votes on the motion unless members of the board, staff, or public request specific items to be discussed or pulled from the consent items. To address an item on the consent calendar, please follow the procedure described under comments on agenda items. As a courtesy to all meeting attendees, please set cell phones and electronic devices to silent mode and engage in conversations outside of the meeting room. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Everyone stand and join us in saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The board did meet in closed session, and we have four items to consider. The first item is case number 2016-025SD, an early readmit. I need a motion from the board to consider this
item.
I'll
move approval.
Second.
All those in favor? I'm sorry, roll call, please.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes. The next case is case 2017-041SD, also an early readmit. I need a motion from the board.
I'll move approval.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes. Next case is 2017-061SD. This is an expulsion. I need a motion from the board.
Second.
Roll call.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes. And last case is 2017-062SD. Also need a motion from the board.
Move approval.
Second.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes. Thank you. Next, we have approval of the agenda. I know that we have one item pulled from the consent for public comment, 15F. Do we have others?
Yes.
Okay.
Eric, I wasn't sure about your last email. Which is the, you said Bacon Friedman or Fulfrost or Dennis Wolver Kelly was the attorney who handled the superintendent contract.
That's Fagan Friedman Fulfrost.
Okay, then I'll pull 15A2.
Are there any other items to be pulled by the board for our agenda?
Do we need to pull the personnel report?
Oh, yes. We also need to pull the personnel report because that was revised to add the new assistant principal at San Diego Academy.
And then what about the donation list that was revised?
I don't think we need to pull the donation list because we did correct. Amend that prior to the meeting, so that would be as amended.
You pulled the batting cages off.
Right, because we had the wrong month on there. We accidentally included last meeting's donation list on this agenda, and I did mention to the board previous to that posting that the intent was to bring back the batting cage item in September, along with an agenda item on our foundation.
So did you set out the MOU, because I've asked you for that a few times, that between that person who donated and the foundation, so you can better understand how that worked out?
I've not done that yet.
Can we get that?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, now we need to approve our agenda, and then we will get to those items to discuss. So I need a motion to approve the agenda with the exclusion of 15F, 15A2, and the personnel report.
So moved. Second.
All those in favor say
actually,
aye.
Actually, that's a...
It's the agenda or the consent?
This is the approval of the agenda, so okay. This is a regular motion, not a roll call.
Okay.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Next, we have the approval of the minutes. We have two. One was from the July 13th regular meeting. The other one was from the August 2nd special meeting. And I need a motion to approve those minutes.
I'll move approval.
Second.
And okay. Ms. D'Alessandra needs to recuse herself from the July meeting.
From just one. From the July 13th. Yes. Okay, so you will do that. Okay, thank you. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Abstain?
Abstain.
From that one, okay.
From that one, okay. Right.
And then we can approve, we'll just do two motions to approve the August 2nd special meeting.
New version.
Okay.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you. All right. Moving on, we could have a student update if Isaac would like to share his summer vacation report.
I have nothing to report.
Thank you, but thank you for joining us. Thank you for
it was a surprise
by.
To see you, and we're glad you're here.
Yeah, nice to have you.
This
back.
Was not a mistake, by the way. Yeah. He dropped in.
He did this intentionally with this Thursday evening, so I'm very impressed.
He's here every Thursday.
Sure.
So all right. To me back.
So then we will move over to our Board of Trustees. Report, Ms. Muir.
Well, I have a lot to report. I've been busy working diligently on behalf of our students. I'm happy to say, and that is that we are not going to be having a off-campus policy change. I've been doing a lot of community outreach with that, talk to school students and parents. So I'm glad that we can do a good collaboration, and we're not going to be doing that. I also found out that parents said that we were able to help him with the ISPEs. I'm glad that happened, that he now his student will be enrolled in doing ISPE. Glad that they benefited from that. You got back to me, Mike, is I reached out to, was that somewhere, the UCSD Business Department, and they have a program during the summer where it's like Shark Tank, where they make the products and they help the child make the product, and then they're able to go through fruition marketing it. And it's called Launchpad, and they have someone that a benefactor will pay for all this. It would be great if we could implement it here in our district. Something even for special ed. That would be something amazing for them. Also, I participated in the special ed forum at the AT&T Portables. You know, I'm very supportive of the kids and the student learning. I'm happy that the superintendent got to speak with them. We got to hear everything they said, and that has been resolved. I'd also like to thank tonight, we got the grant from District Supervisor Kristen Gaspar. As you know, she's one of my best friends. And I called her on the phone and I said, you know, this is a great program. And she said, of course, I want to support this. And that is on the agenda tonight. And so I called her and thanked her for that, sent her an email. And on the college night, you know, it benefits all kids. And I invited her to come next year. Her son, Chris Carson, will be at the game, you know. And I'd also like to say that we talked about the NCDE Educational Community Forum. It's going to be on the next agenda. I'm really excited about that. And my son, Scotland, who's going to be a junior, we were at Business Days yesterday, who was great, got to see the campus, of course, got to see Mr. Golden, who is the theater, and he is amazing. And you know what? That's going to be a great opportunity for the theater at the Costa Canyon. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Thank you. Mrs. Ferguson.
All right. Well, I think we've already commented that we all had a special board meeting and a board workshop both since our last regular meeting. But in addition to that, this week I've been able to attend the Encinitas liaison meeting. It's our schools and city liaison meeting. And we had actually Mrs. DeLisandro and Mr. Dill were there. And the primary topic that they were talking about was their climate action plan as a city and trying to look at ways that schools can also have conversations and how we might do what we can do to help reduce our footprint. So everything from talking about transportation and recycling, just all sorts of walking safe routes to school so people don't have to drive. That's a lot of reports on the path that they're working on, the safe routes. And then, yes, this week we also had, I think, Mrs. Herman and Mrs. D'Alessandro and I were all able to be at the Canyon Crest Academy where we had the new teacher orientation and their welcome luncheon. So we were able to go and have a little FaceTime meeting some of them during lunch hour. So that was, it's always a fun kind of a kickoff time, and they're all new and excited. And so it was a nice event.
Great.
At the Faculty Association House.
Thank you. Mr. Salazar.
Oh, let's see. Since the meeting before last, I did meet at Earl Warren with Superintendent Dill and Marcia Sutton and took a look at the portables. This was when we were still considering them for the ATP program, and so I wanted to see those. Then also I had the opportunity to go to Sowell Charter School. They have their new facilities at the Boys and Girls Club on Loma Santa Fe. And I met with them, and just so the board and the superintendent is aware, they're claiming they're going to have about 100 students start in the week, and most of those students are from the district, and they definitely expect next year that they'll have 200-plus students, because they believe they'll keep those students plus double, and they will definitely be hitting us up in November to provide them with facilities. So let's make sure we're ready for that, because who knows exactly what will happen, but they certainly seem like they are going to do that, and so we're going to have to provide them with who knows how many classrooms. But so be prepared with that. While I was there, I saw Rick Shea from the San Diego County of Ed. And one thing that San Diego County of Ed is doing, and I'm sure maybe some of you might be aware of this, is they held a meeting to discuss new ways that school boards should be elected. And this is something that Carlsbad is doing, potentially our district could be, and I don't know if we're going to be challenged, and Mr. Dill, you can comment on this if we have had any letters from law firms that we could be in violation of the Voting Rights Act, because we're not electing our school board members by district. And there is a very connected law firm that's going out making speeches or seminars on this, mm-hmm. and it might be something that we as a board want to look at least hear what they have to say. These people did do a presentation at the San Diego mm-hmm. County Board of Ed recently. So I would suggest that we put something on either next okay. month's agenda or soon, because that our next election is not this year, but it's mm-hmm. the next year, and we could be prepared for that if that's the way we want to go. And I know we can't discuss it now, but I'd be interested to hear what the fellow board members had to say and how they feel about that.
Okay, so thank you. Great, thank you. Mrs. D'Alessandro.
Well, Mrs. Herman did my report. Mrs. Herbesheimer. I attended the BITSA new teacher orientation meeting and luncheon. It was a great opportunity to have lunch with new teachers, many of whom actually are veteran teachers but are new to our district. It was very, very interesting to chat with them. Really enjoyed that luncheon. And then also to the Encinitas City Schools Liaison Committee. The city has a very detailed climate action plan. It's very impressive, and they certainly want us to be included, although clearly the Encinitas Elementary District is far more of an impact on the area than we are. But it was great to hear it all, and it was great to be included in taking a look at some of the ways that we can help in alleviating some of our impact on the climate.
Great. Thank you. Again, duplication here, but I did attend the July 28th Special Ed Community Forum, and again, got a lot of information from that, heard a lot of concerns. We had our workshop this afternoon addressing those, and this is just one step in the way to work together to improve that program. We're listening, we're working on that, and taking those suggestions to heart, and we're hoping to really improve in a very visible way our special ed program. also attended the new teacher orientation. And again, it's always nice to meet our new enthusiastic teachers for the district. And that's my report.
Thanks. Just to close the loop on your question, we've not received the letter on the California Voting Rights Act, but I do think that's a good idea just to head it off at the pass and start the discussions, because that group is making the rounds to school districts throughout the state, and I've had other conversations to say it's a matter of time before they eventually make their way to us. So that's not a bad idea to at least have that conversation. So we'll see what we can do for next month.
Good.
Yeah, and another thing that will change, well, maybe, I guess that's not another thing that will change, but something that I've asked our principals to do for this school year. As the board knows, we have principal updates at every meeting, and it's always a really broad overview of things that are going on at the school, and they try to cram in a whole year's worth of information and activities in the 3 to 10 minutes. And a lot of those things overlap with the things that our student board members talk about and that we hear at every single meeting. And so I think that that this year, a better use of our time, and I've spoken with our principals about this, would be for each one of them to dive deeper into one aspect of our LCAP, or the Single Plans for Student Achievement, to talk about how they are meeting those goals and measuring progress, and how they are implementing these overall goals for the district at their school site, or maybe at that grade level, but with firsthand knowledge of what they're doing at their school site. And so, you know, rather than kind of what we did earlier today, where we tried to get all of special ed into an hour and a half, that we would have a series of discussions a little bit deeper throughout the year, rather than having special workshops for that, and that would be a regular feature of our school board meetings going forward. So,
Eric had an opinion about this.
Sure.
I think what you need to do is, what you tighten it up is, it shouldn't be. Is it? I think you need to first go into math, because that's where we're having your biggest issue. Is then rotate through each school, mm-hmm. how they're handling the different topics, because we've never had a discussion about this. We've mm-hmm. never talked about core curriculum. Is that we need to find out what's going on with each of our subjects first before we go into something else, and maybe then we can get Mike to talk about this in an overview.
Well, increasing,
this.
Sure. Well, one of the goals in the LCAP is increasing achievement in math for all students, and including all subgroups, and so we will have a principal who will specifically address that.
I mean, instead of having, because they might have someone else touch on the same topic, let's make sure.
No, that's exactly right. That you're mm-hmm. exactly right. We're going to have different topics at each one of the meetings, and so mm-hmm. that we will work through all of the priority areas of our LCAP throughout the school year.
And then can't we have, I think what we need to do is in conjunction with an overview of how the district's going to handle this, because, I mean, I got to tell you something, when I looked at this whole off-campus policy change, again and again, it was the math. Mm-hmm. That's where we need to mm-hmm. support these kids. And I guess maybe Mike can talk about how we're going to attain that a goal, maybe what your future goals are going to be, maybe have the principal talk on the heels of that, what you're going to do.
Yeah, it's exactly what the idea will be going forward, is that we will have, you know, deeper and more focused discussions with the people who are actually implementing those plans, leading that discussion here in the boardroom, and then, of course, if our senior administrators want to supplement those discussions, they'll do that along the way. So we will, each one of them will take a different piece of that, and we've already got at least the principals scheduled out for the year. And you know, the only one that I said I want you to do this one was, I wanted Principal Marcus to talk about IB, because that's the only campus that's doing that. And so, you know, when he comes around, he'll do that IB. But I've left it up to the other principals to work out who will cover what topic, and we'll make sure that there's no overlap.
So can you then put an agenda out, and we can put it out to the community so they know, and they can be here and they can participate in this?
So this would be part of our regular board meeting, and
right.
what we would do is caption that would be the topic that would be discussed.
I think it's really agenda. So you're getting all this information now. I think if you put an agenda out
sure.
now, then the parents can know. And I think also we should also have it coincide with our calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Like the AP test, have someone cover the AP test because it's coming up. Have our calendar fit the school year. As I think that would be an easier way for parents to know what's coming up, and then they can ask questions before it happens.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's it for me.
Okay, next we have public comments, and first speaker is Wendy Gum.
So I just wanted to let you know, I went to the county office meeting about the the zoning, and it was interesting. Poway's coming next, so we'll get the letter eventually. They said we're the last county, so it's coming. So I don't know what that means for our district exactly, but so I just wanted to let you know. So, okay, so welcome to the 2017-18 school year. Isaac, great to see you. Senior year, awesome, awesome. I hope you all are excited about the great strides we are going to make together to change the culture of our district to better match the overall values of our community. Let's start with Marcia Sutton's statements from her column this week. How we treat our most vulnerable says everything about who we are. The school board, for its part, needs to wake up, stop pretending all is right with the world, and get its broken house in order. Joyce, I'm going to look directly to you. This is the legacy. Is this the legacy that you want to be remembered for? Treating our most vulnerable students in the disrespected way they have been treated this year. Honestly, I do not believe this is what you had in mind as your legacy. If we keep on the current trajectory of secrets, lies, and deceit in this public institution, if we do not work together to start to change the behavior and culture in the district, your legacy in 2020 could look more like this. Joyce was the leader on the school board for 24 years. She did not like special education students, our most vulnerable students. Joyce caused many good teachers to leave the district because the administration was weak and never did their job to lead and set the direction so that all students in the district could be successful. I do not think Joyce, who was on the board for 24 years, even took the time to really understand the budget. This district is now struggling to even meet the 3% reserves as mandated by the state, which eventually led to the laying off of some really great teachers because no one in the district ever understood what it really costs to run the district. She sat as the matriarch of the board through 5 superintendents and allowed continued secretive behavior, never addressed the general public, and allowed private donors to obtain special treatment. Why did she protect this behavior? Maybe she was getting special privileges from the public institution, the same as these high influential donors. Votes could not happen when she was not there because she controlled the board majority, and Beth and Amy could not articulate a coherent sentence or make a decision without direction or secret notes from Joyce about anything. Now, I do not believe you got up this morning with the thought that the above behavior you have condoned for the last 20 years and will continue to condone and promote so that your legacy is reflected as I described. Be assured that if you do not force the change in the district's behavior, that will be how you are remembered. Start changing behavior with tiny wins. There is no such thing as perfect in this lifetime. It is not allowed. Stop saying everything is perfect. Our district is great, perfect. We know it is not. It is good, and as we grow in life and wisdom, we know that we can always get better. We are not doing that. The district is stuck in a fake reality. To quote Mr. Dill from January, this is not a 50 sock hop. Be responsive to public records requests. The district should not have secrets from the public. If you do, then clean your house now because the requests are going to keep coming and coming more frequently. By law, you are required to answer the requests of the public. The longer you ignore the requests and protect the secrets, the more vulnerable you become. I would hate to see our district in the news like Poway superintendent, the county office superintendent, or like board members in Sweetwater or city council in City of Bell. These stories are not good for our community. We are better than this, and we are going to ensure our leaders are better than that type of behavior. No longer allow your administration to lie to the parents and students. Football parents never got the memo that they did not have to pay. Today, there are parents and students in our district in harm's way because they did not want their student to be left out of the public school activity and they could not afford $3,000. Special ed parents were assured of a state-of-the-art facility they were lied to. The general student is assured of a good education with equality in all aspects. This is not happening. We should be the leader in forward-thinking and innovation when it comes to putting our students first. If our students are first, then our teachers will be given those tools they need to be successful. Our parents and community provide more than $5 million per year to our 4 high schools. Where is that money going? Has anyone asked if there are better ways to redirect those funds for a better overall experience for all of our students? As a parent community, we want the answers to these questions. We want to support, celebrate, and incentivize the teachers that are committed to the overall middle and high school experience our students so richly deserve. We want to empower and support our principals and assistant principals to have the resources and proper staffing needed to lead the overall positive high school experience. Joyce, if you can't lead this change, then your legacy is in jeopardy. Thank you.
Okay, next speaker.
I would like to reply to that, actually.
Okay.
That was a highly slanted, absolutely incorrect, looking at specific little things that are important to you and absolutely not taking into account a tremendous body of...
Not true. You're not allowed to talk to this. Follow your own policies.
You can't even follow your own policies.
Board members can make a brief comment.
If it affects me personally, that was a diatribe against me.
Okay, moving on. And is this Paturi Sura? Okay, thank you.
My name is Surya Pate. My slip is titled Effectiveness of the Troy Pines High School Foundation. I'm an alumni of Troy Pines High School. I graduated in 2012. I value the education that I received at Troy Pines High School, and I hope to better the environment for future and current students by voicing my concern about school policy. I was bullied at Troy Pines High School by multiple student athletes.
Can you talk a little louder and a little slower?
I was bullied at Troy Pines High School by multiple student athletes. I currently see a psychiatrist and have talked to many mental health professionals since injury in my time at Troy Pines High School. The treatment I endured in public school classrooms and hallways was a traumatic experience for me. I did not feel there was a culture where I could report this treatment. The practice of encouraging large donations from student athletes led to a culture where these students thought they could make decisions a teacher or an administrator would reprimand if they had found out. I still remember the incident in Ms. Brown's math class, Calculus CD, when a lacrosse player kicked down my math poster board before we were set to present. The poster board meant a lot to me and was the first time I was expressing my joy for math. A soccer player watched and chuckled as my poster was kicked down. I was shocked and terrified that this could be happening in an upper division class and knew if that I reported this to my teacher, there would be even more retaliation. I thought this behavior was unheard of at the time and was too scared to report it to a teacher. In the same math class, a substitute teacher was present for a considerable period of time because Ms. Brown had to take a pregnancy leave. The same students and other student athletes posted a photo to Facebook ridiculing Ms. Brown and a substitute teacher, and saying a person named Dan should get Miss Brown Prego again. And to top it off, another student commented, "This Dan is an individual's a clown and can only do so much." All of the previously mentioned individuals are student athletes, including the individual posted this photo on Facebook. I strongly urge the board to contact the parents of these students. I was embarrassed that people I thought I knew well would do something of this nature in a public classroom. In another math class, AP Calculus AB, a volleyball player sexually harassed me by pulling down the shorts I was wearing in the middle of class. I was too embarrassed to report this to a teacher. Again, I was so surprised and sad to know this was happening, it was hard for me to reach out to a teacher. I strongly urge the board to reach out to the parents of the student. I feel these student athletes who could get away with this behavior due to the perceived and borderline overt favoritism by teachers towards the upper 10% of students in the school, academically speaking, as the classes were more rigorous for these students, leaving the middle tier and lower tier students to suffer. I think the cutthroat nature of individuals I have to deal with is partly inspired by the fact that Torrey Pines High School overprepares students in certain classes with more difficult teachers, creating excessive stress during the high school experience. For example, an individual on an academic team mocked me for getting a B+ in a Mira Costa college course for chemistry when I was in 10th grade before we were going to enter the class during the first week of school. The large donations by parents to individual programs or to the foundation is not justified as it acts as a subsidy and gives the students a feeling of ownership when donations should be appropriated to the district. I wish to propose an action item that indicates that the school policy should be updated so that all students understand that if they see something, it is safe for them to say something. Earlier this year, the school board passed a resolution declaring a safe space, but they did not take the time to update individual school policies to reflect that they meant it. I wish to speak with a district lawyer. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Can we find out about the school? You said the school set policies hadn't changed. Can we review that? That needs to be reviewed then.
Certainly. You know, the resolution acknowledged the existing policies, and so it did adopt or readopt or acknowledge the existing policies. So we could look at how we could realign with the other language in that resolution, certainly.
You know what else? I know we have a number you can call that's anonymous. Mm-hmm. Is that I haven't seen it anywhere, but I've heard about it, is why can't that be more prominent? Mm-hmm. And so kids can feel that they can do that, or text, or reach out to someone anonymously. Mm-hmm.
Sure, we'll look at how we're promoting that number. I know sometimes we've had it on the front pages of websites, and we've had posters in schools.
What about the door of the school?
We can...
Let's do that, and then there wouldn't be this issue. And thank you for coming forward.
I have
screen
shots of these letters.
I'm sorry, what?
I have screen shots of these letters and comments.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Next, we have Elaine Kuma.
Hi, I'm Elaine Kuma, and as you know, I'm a longtime resident and taxpayer of the community, and I had a son that has graduated from Torrey Pines High School, and it's so ironic that this gentleman just talked, because I have something very similar that I wanted to bring up today, and I've been thinking about it again. I'm here tonight to request a policy and procedure that addresses bullying and hazing by that happen to students that are caused by the staff, by teachers, coaches, and the students. I have brought this up before a couple months ago, and you said there was no policy and procedure. Today, tonight, I am requesting that you put this in the minutes so everybody knows that this has been requested. And I think, as this brave gentleman just said, we need it. Parents have nothing. There needs to be a systematic method with expeditious time frames to address bullying and hazing by district employees, and it can either be mistreatment by employees or other students. California law, and I've reminded you this, requires every instance of bullying and hazing by a student or staff to be investigated in an expeditious manner. As you know, I have repeatedly emailed you, come here and voice my frustration about bullying that happened to my son. Nothing was done. I didn't even get emails returned or phone calls returned. So my frustration level went up to here. When there are no guidelines and no response, parents don't know what to do, and they get angrier and angrier and angrier. And as you can tell, and what you've heard from me, I am the perfect example. You can fix this problem by having a policy and procedure so everyone stays on the same frame. In my case, and I'm sure a lot of other parents, the students do not want the parents to come public. I had to watch my son in agony for 2 years. Over 2 years. It has taken an enormous amount of time. And I got nothing from you guys. Nothing. When you do that, it shows you don't care. I felt that the response I got from you, which was nothing, was that as long as it's not my kid. I really got that. So I really want you to think, what if that happened to your kid? That your kid was told by a coach that he was too stupid to go to college. How would you like it if he said he was no good to play when Division I schools were looking at him? I really want you to think about it. And do you know what? These 3 minutes, you wouldn't even meet with me. Mr. Dale, I requested to meet with you, and never happened. I requested to meet with all of you. And then you give a parent 3 minutes? Anyway, I'm almost done. So anyway, it voices the frustration, and I got very frustrated because I had to listen to this gentleman's agony. And you guys could have prevented this. So have a policy and procedure with expeditious expeditious time frame so everyone stays on the same time frame. And you will not have staff like in Marcia Sutton's editorial today that says, oh, I didn't know anything about it. Everybody's on the same page. Lastly, students, teachers, and staff have unions to protect them. And again, I keep telling you this, they do. Students have nothing, and I mean nothing, especially athletes. And others too, but my son as an athlete, it was horrific. Parents can only hope their students are treated well. Lastly, no parent should be allowed to have to be forced to go public. I had to wait 3 years. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Dill, as a follow-up, is there some...
I did have Mr. Ayala reach out to Ms. Quima after she first made some comments a few months ago and to revisit the issues that had been addressed or were made aware by Principal Jaffe and Mr. Thornton at the time they occurred. So we did have Mr. Ayala follow up on that.
And okay. So he reached out to her?
Yes, they did.
And if there is a policy that can back up the resolution that we made, I know that we have some programs, but if they're not well known throughout the community or if there's something else we can do to enhance that, I certainly would be in favor of that for our students.
Well, I think having an anonymous phone number, put it on the door, there'd be no reason that everybody can see it at that point.
That's a good idea. Yeah. And let me remind everybody in what the one of the head of the teachers' unions has said. He will represent students' interests when they start paying union dues. So just remember that.
That's their
motto.
Okay, and last public comment for this item is Nancy Perry Sheridan.
Thank you. This is not related to these items. And I just need some help. I've created six packets for review. Thank you. And there's more of these for everybody.
Okay.
But thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And if it's easier to distribute those afterwards.
Okay. Thank you.
My name is Nancy Sheridan, and I work with San Diego Alliance for Drug Free Youth. And San Diego Alliance is a nonprofit prevention organization. We partner with community organizations to provide alcohol, drug, and tobacco prevention programs, support healthy lifestyles for our youth, and raise community awareness about related issues. I wanted to come tonight to express our We're extremely grateful for our long-lasting and strong partnership with the school district. Tonight, we'd just like to provide you with a brief overview of some of our programs for students and remind you of another important community resource as we begin our academic year. The Teen Presenters Program invites seniors from each high school who have remained alcohol, drug, and tobacco-free to become trained and to collectively visit sixth graders throughout the county. These high school students meet in an assembly with all the sixth grade classes to share their personal reasons for staying alcohol and drug free. Many young students are strongly impacted to hear from older students about their choices not to drink and get high, and many later become teen presenters themselves. Our Study Buddy program provides an opportunity for high school students to mentor and tutor elementary school children once a week for 6 weeks. Each semester, Study Buddies are paired with the same elementary school student and hang out and help the younger student. We hear about how special these younger students feel when an older peer spends time with them. The Young Leaders in Healthcare is a collaborative partnership with Scripps Hospital and the school district, where students interested in healthcare have opportunities to meet healthcare professionals, learn about career paths, and experience hands-on learning. Students from grades 9 through 12, from 12 public and private schools throughout the county, meet at Scripps each month in addition to their club meetings at various school sites. The program has grown, and we now average 80 students each month. Additionally, selected students work in a 5-week internship program at Scripps each summer. All of our district high schools are involved. Start Smart, the California Highway Patrol's driving safety class, is still going strong thanks to a partnership with the district and law enforcement. Thousands of students and parents have participated in this free 2-hour public safety class. Finally, I'd like to remind you of the Billy program. Billy stands for Because I Love You. It's for parents, foster parents, grandparents, divorced or separated parents struggling with their children's behavior. It's a nonprofit organization located here in Encinitas on Regal Road that holds weekly meetings from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. The Billy San Diego branch was founded by a local couple who had a very willful young son, and it is part of a national organization. The Billy program has helped more than 700 families in the past 7 years. People come as far away from Alpine, San Clemente, and Chula Vista because this program works. I don't want to take any more time, but I wanted to leave you with some Billy brochures, and our hope is to further support the district efforts to positively impact student success and support families. And we are available to provide more detailed information about Billy to district staff at any time. Thank you very much for all of the things that you do for our district and for our families.
Thank you.
And thank you for everything the San Diego Alliance does for us as well. We really appreciate all your support.
Can I just make a comment? You know, Scotland's Young Leaders for Healthcare, and I found out about that when you were here.
Oh.
And that's what I found out about, and I went online, and he was at the one, where they did the surgery on the femur, and then the orthopedic surgeons came. He wants to be, an anesthesiologist. Is that he brought all his friends, and you know what? It has. Is now they're thinking about all this one getting into this. So you know what? That's a great program. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Next, we have our consent items, and I need a motion to approve all of the consent items 11 through 15, with the exception of 15A2 and 15F and the personnel reports.
Mm-hmm.
Second.
I'm sorry. Was there? Okay, got it. You're too fast.
Okay.
Ms. Mayer?
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes. First item is 12A, and that relates to the updated personnel reports.
And that was just the addition of the new assistant principal at San Diego Academy.
Yes, who we met a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And she's very enthusiastic.
We're really excited to have her.
Yeah. Are there any more questions related to that item?
Well, we didn't get to go to the leadership thing. Are we going to have something that the board can meet everyone that is now being employed at the district? We're going to have a roundup so we can get to meet everyone? How's that going to work out?
We'll figure out a way. There's also back-to-school nights. I know the board attends all of those.
Oh,
and
he's
so
busy, though,
yeah,
that
but that's one way to get to meet them and school site visits. So I'll see what we could do.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we'll need a roll call on item 12A.
I
need a motion
first.
Exactly, sorry. Need a motion on me. I need a second.
Second.
All right.
Ms. Mayer?
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes. Next item is 15A2.
Yes. So I've been emailing you back and forth, Eric, about this. It says, so Fagan Friedman Holfrost, so the attorney that we have for your contract,
mm-hmm.
was the attorney that negotiated that.
Well, he drafted the language.
Who was the attorney that was there with us in advising us on that contract?
I was not in that meeting, so I don't know, Mrs. Herman, if you recall.
Jordan Bielesi?
Bill Basie.
And so was he, I guess I thought that Eric knew me, so was he part of...
Yes, he's an attorney with Fagan.
Fagan Friedman, and I know I talked to you about the ATP that I felt that he should not be coming back to the district because I didn't feel like, I think he omitted information. He didn't tell me that contract that we needed to have Eric have a teacher certification, admin certification also. And that was in the contract. I asked him if that contract was just like Rick Schmitz, and he said yes. And I did read the contract, but, you know, we're paying him, what, $600 an hour over the 2 hours? I don't think we should hire them back. I think that omitting that was a big issue.
Well, we're not really allowed to talk about this type of closed session, but we could talk about this attorney. And if you did not like his services, you can choose to vote against
him. Do you think
you're
omitting and not giving us pertinent information when we're paying that kind of money?
Actually, it wasn't omitted. Yeah. It was included, and that's what the board voted on, and that's what was publicly noticed. And
I asked him if it was specific, and he's the attorney, and he's our advisor, but he didn't tell me that. And I did read it, and it was actually tucked in instead of like a big, bold print on there.
I don't know that conversation you're having. If it was in closed session, we
can't. You were right there, sitting there, when we were talking to him. I was on the end speaking to him.
And I don't remember that particular question, but again, we're not supposed to be talking about closed session questions, but I will say
we're talking about Harvard's firm again.
That is fine, and if that is that is your...
I have something to say on this. Fagan, Friedman, and Fulfrost is a highly respected law firm, and it's been our practice over the many years of signing on numerous attorneys, law firms, who, when it comes time, we're not paying them anything until we choose to use them for something. And that's true of all. And some of the law firms we don't ever use in any given year. And others, again, we hand pick. Either they are experts in a particular area, or they are, or a law firm that we would have chosen is busy and can't take on our issue, so we move to a different one. We need to have numerous law firms at our disposal, and the only way we get them to be at our disposal is to approving an agreement with them.
Oh, I don't disagree with you. I agree with you 100%. And I'm not talking about anything in closed session. I'm talking about what happened after the contract, what I heard from the public, when everyone was asking about. That's what I'm talking about, when the public is asking me these questions, and I'm like, you know what, I depended on this attorney for his advice. I'm not saying the law firm. I'm saying that attorney at that point did not give me the advice.
Okay, and we don't have to use every attorney in a firm.
Then why can't we? Then we make sure we don't use them, and then I can vote yes on this. If you give me that assurance, then I'm with you 100%.
Well,
and like you said, they're a great law firm. I'm not saying this, but in this instance, when I expect their advice to make good decisions, just like that's what we're paying him for, and we did pay him, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we paid him.
Yes.
And I was not given good advice. So then, or omitted advice. I don't know. He's not here tonight. I asked you to bring him here. I thought maybe I could ask him then. And
well, again, this is about tonight's contract. It's not
right,
about prior. It's not about
contract.
Prior actions. So,
but that's not true, mm-hmm. because we always hire people. But just like mm-hmm. we hire anyone, if they're good, that's why we hired them. Mm-hmm. Is in this instance, I'm saying this wasn't good. That he didn't give me all the information. I'm talking about, like you said, now you're asking me to hire him for another year.
Okay, so here's you know how I'll address that. That you know, ultimately, the language that was written into that agreement was sound, and it was according to the law, with the credential waiver included in there, and that was posted. And I wasn't part of that conversation,
right,
so I'll accept that.
I'm talking to you. I'm just talking about why I don't think we should hire that one attorney. And I did ask you this, that the ATP did not hire that attorney back. You don't know, so I did ask you previously to this board meeting about that.
Well, as soon as next week, we've got work scheduled with that same attorney, and I'm plan on using him for that. And also, I plan on using Fagan, Friedman, Fulfrost, and many of the different attorneys that they have on staff with that. And again, it's according to their expertise and their capabilities and their ability to take on the work that we assign. So I would like to have the flexibility to use not only that firm, but also from time to time that attorney.
Even if they admit information that's pertinent to the board making good decisions, because that's really what I'm talking about.
But ultimately, that was posted on a public agenda, and it was
right.
That information was there, and it was there for the board.
And you didn't vote for the contract anyway,
yeah.
So the
doesn't matter about voting yes or no. It's about the attorney that we're going to be hiring for another year. That's what this is about. And when I feel like the board isn't getting good information, someone we paid top dollar for, then I say, why not hire someone else? We've still got the great law firm. He's the great attorneys there.
If we don't approve this, we're not going to have that law firm.
I'm saying if we don't use that attorney within that law firm, I don't.
I agree with you.
Well, we have to speak to the item that's on there, and I believe that without the opportunity to use this law firm, we would be restricting.
I'm not saying don't use them. I'm saying I think
what Mrs. Muir is saying is she wasn't satisfied mm-hmm. with the service that this law firm provided. I think you've asked the question. I think Mr. Dill has said he's going to use the law firm if we agree tonight, and he's going to continue to use that lawyer. So I think your only recourse is to vote no on the entire law firm.
That's correct.
So, mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to. I'm just
no, you know. I know. But if you're unhappy with the service, it was like any other service. If you didn't feel, mm-hmm. and I think you felt you were unhappy from what was omitted, not what he said. What
he
didn't say.
Thank you.
So I understand that.
Okay, thank you. We need a motion on this item.
Move approval.
I'll second it.
A roll call.
Ms. Muir?
No.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
No.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes. Next item is 15F.
Two speaker slips.
Okay, start with speaker slips. We have Wendy Gum.
So I brought some handouts. And so every meeting I try, if I'm picking something off the consent or something off the agenda, I try to be respectful and... but there's different subjects. So I try to be respectful and forward information to the person that put it on the agenda. So I sent it to Ms. Douglas, and she was kind enough to actually answer a lot of the questions. And so I'm trying to educate myself on the budget so that I can ask more thoughtful questions. So I'm giving you the questions that I sent to her. She can respond to you if you have questions. But there's two items in there. So one of them is the Quan payment on the warrant 1425565. I'm getting old eyes. $1,300. So, you know, through records request, I requested all the Quan invoices. This was the only one I didn't have. And lo and behold, in this invoice, she was noted to have provided advice to the foundations that provided the letter that responded to the UT. Article. So the open letter that the foundations wrote to the UT was directed by Mrs. Kwan according to her invoice. So basically, the way I interpret that is that the district paid a consultant to consult with the foundations to provide an open letter to the Union Tribune for an article that was in the newspaper with false and inaccurate information about the district's budgets. And I find that very disturbing. So I brought copies of everything so you can see the work product that you paid for through Mrs. Kwan's consulting services that are paid by the district contract. And you can see the letter that went out to the Union Tribune by the foundations, basically speaking on behalf of the district, talking about our budgets, which I think is very inaccurate. It's extremely misleading to the public. I would actually say it's lies. And I think that at some point in time, Mrs. Douglas, who I think is a very capable CBO, should give a better presentation of what the true budget looks like when she has time to dig into it later this year. So that's that issue. The other issue that she answered the question, and I understand protecting our staff from being in harm's way from financial hardship when extracurricular activities happen. However, the fact that we actually paid a warrant to the La Costa Canyon High School Foundation for $2,752.01 as a reimbursement for post-extracurricular activities concerns me because, again, it doesn't seem like there's any policy or process for our athletic programs at any of our schools. So what you're telling me is if lacrosse or baseball or football makes it into state finals and they have to go to Fresno or they have to go to San Francisco, the coach has to use their own money to buy the trip, pay for the trip, and then they get reimbursed by the district, like, on an expense account based on their own cash or credit card or whatever. I find that really hard to believe in a public school system, that the district is not already fronting that money or providing some type of district credit card or site credit card so that these coaches can be taken care of, so they're not using their own money to do these transportations. And the fact that the foundation is acting like a supplemental checkbook for the district, again, creates excessive concern for me as a taxpayer that there is something going on with the foundations, because we cannot reconcile the dollar amounts that go from the foundation to the district from a donation perspective. So again, you will have more public records requests, because I will get to the bottom of the cash flow between the foundations and the district, because right now I think there is an undesirable commingling of funds, and I do not believe that our budgets are reflected correctly, because I don't think we're carrying athletics in our district budget. Because when you look at Torrey Pines, since I have 1 minute, I'm just going to take my time. So when you look at Torrey Pines, right now they're trying to raise $275,000 for the education fund at Torrey Pines. If you look at 990s in the past, roughly $200,000 are administrative costs just for the foundation. So if you take 275 minus 200, that's only $75,000 that is going to the district that parents are paying. The rest of the money that the foundation pays out in programs and services, according to the foundation, looks like it comes from booster budgets of athletics, and the only people paying that are parents. So I see nowhere in the district that you manage and budget for athletics, because at Torrey Pines, based on doing all the rough math, I'm almost to about $1.4 million it costs just to run athletics at Torrey Pines, but nobody can validate that. So I'm still waiting for my public records request so I can see the information. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
So I have a question about this, Eric. Okay, so she, Phil's quad, got $1,300 for 10 hours. I thought that when we hired her, it was a flat rate. I didn't think she got anything more than the flat rate.
It's a not-to-exceed amount for a year, and she bills to that amount.
I thought we had agreed that she was there to facilitate consulting on fundraising for the foundation, certainly not doing PR. Well, what's the deal with that?
She does many different things in her scope of services, which includes facilitating discussions between the foundations and the district, between the administrators and the foundations, providing input and advice on best practices. She does many different things within that scope of services.
Well, I think this is absolutely ridiculous that we are paying somebody to drop a press release, which arguably you can say a lot of what she says here is not even true.
Well, she did not draft this letter.
She said she consulted on it.
She consulted on it, but she did not draft it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm really opposed to hiring PR people to spin stories.
Okay, we have another speaker slip on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Beth Westberg?
I'm going to talk about Phyllis Kwan, too.
Okay.
So I couldn't believe my eyes when I read the invoice from Phyllis Kwan, the one that you're looking at right there. I mean, are you kidding me? All I hear ad nauseum is that the district cannot control the foundation. So why is the district paying Phyllis Kwan, a district contractor and representative, to facilitate a rebuttal to the Union Tribune articles regarding the Torrey Pines baseball program and pay-to-play issues? Not only is that rebuttal full of lies, alternative facts, and misrepresentations, it's a bold attempt to bully those who ask questions or seek transparency. Now, we all know that the UT article exposed many truths that you have been unwilling to accept, such as illegal use of the batting cages, illegal contracts between the foundation and the donor, and the contract was, at best, inept in its handling of the building and the gift of those batting cages. To this day, it appears that the district does not have a handle on who's using the batting cages. And I have a very simple solution for that. Change the locks. Simple. Then you'll know who's in there and who's not. So my questions to you pertaining to this is, who directed Phyllis Kwan to work with the foundations to write a rebuttal to the UT article? What was the district trying to achieve by issuing a rebuttal? If the district wanted to issue a statement about the article, why didn't the district send out their own response? And why is the district using the foundation to speak to them? Next, on this invoice that you have, you're paying Phyllis Kwan to facilitate a discussion about ongoing challenges and opportunities with outside rentals of school site facilities. Really? Great representation you have there. The foundations have been mischarging entities, sharing their discounts with vendors in exchange for foundation donations, and foundations are charging extortion charges for some vendors. Remember the Encinitas Soccer
College of who the person is, what they do in the district. Is that you've got the person's name, people's name down, who they're being biology, and you're like, well, who are these people?
So you want a title?
What they do, the job description, what they are, teacher, what have you, and then we would know. And you know, I think it's being more transparent. And also, it's got the location. You've got just like 001, just put down the location. Is that if they're going outside of the district, then just put.
Well, but that's their work location. Right, that's not their, you know.
Yeah, people are asking me, well, so, where are they going, or what is they're having all these conferences, where they're going? And I said, I don't know, but I'm voting on it, so I should know. Just say, you know,
So unfortunately, with like a mileage reimbursement, so let's take mine for example. You know, I'm driving around the county and driving from school to school, so it's not,
I'm just
saying,
in parentheses, who you are, so mm-hmm. that they know that yeah. person. That's, I think that's a legitimate question, mm-hmm. is that you've got all these different names, no one knows who they are, work for a district, and they should know. Okay, it would be easy to do.
Okay, well, we'll have to, Ms. Douglas and I will talk, because these are kind of canned reports that we get out of our system, so we'll have to see how we can manage those to get more information on there.
What I'm
saying is the reports that are on here are, you know, pre-programmed reports that we print out for the board agenda. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see how we can modify that.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
And reading this Phyllis Kwan invoice, because I hadn't seen this until just now, I hadn't heard of this. I think really what we should consider here is five hours are outside what this board hired her to do. She said she did 3 hours, you know, basically strategizing with them, and then another 2 hours reviewing various drafts of responses to the UT articles, which is certainly not what this board hired her to do. So I would say I would approve half of this. So I don't know if we have to disapprove the entire invoice ask her to resubmit, but I'd approve half.
We'll do it separately. You know, Dr. Grove, I don't want to put you on the spot, but you've worked with her and have overseen this contract for years, and I don't know if you've got the scope of services handy. That I know we talked about it a month or so ago when the contract was up, but in the middle of this meeting, I wouldn't be able to get it quickly to actually discuss what her full scope of services is, but it's more than just fundraising. It really is development and advice to the foundations in, you know, any number of areas.
Well, and again, I would also remind, because we spoke about it when her contract was up, that she does a lot of advising of our site administrators as well. Well, I can tell you, as a principal, I utilized her all the time getting advice around how to work with the foundation, with the board, how to help them organize and structure to better support the school.
Yeah, and that's all good. I'm just saying the 5 hours doing what I disagreed with.
I understand what you're saying.
Could I make a motion that we vote on the item 15F without that item in it? And I mean, I'm uncomfortable with those hours myself too. So whether we can go back to that line and look at what we're all the thought we were.
Maybe we could come and speak and talk about what she does, and because if she's going to, it makes me a little uncomfortable. Also knowing that, like you said, I know the parameters of what she's doing. Want to make sure we're clear on that.
And I know we'll have a topic at our next board meeting about foundations and fundraising, mm-hmm. so we could have it at that time.
It's the foundation, so she's under Santa Ana Union High School District contract, but correct. Is the foundation able to just request her services?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly it.
They could do that as well, but you know, this is a district-wide coordination of effort. It's not just one foundation. It's
okay, but if we're paying her, I mean, our money is not clearly not the same as foundation money. If we're paying her, should they not be? Should Mrs.
Kwan.
Should she not be coming to an SDUHSD representative first?
Yeah. Well, she works between us, and so she works as a consultant and a liaison between the two.
So she also works for the foundation.
Mm-hmm. well, no, she works for us, but she consults with both sides.
So the foundation is just able to request your services. And
so she represents, yeah. She represents both sides, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's a consultant. Does she represent both sides or just represent the district?
It's really sad that the high school kid gets it.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I'm understanding, we're going to
approve.
I'll take a motion if you have one.
Yeah, I'll to approve item 15F minus the line.
$1,300.
$1,300 for
Bill's Corn. Okay, so we're removing the whole thing, and she can resubmit a different invoice. Is that
We'll bring it back
right.
At the next.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Yeah, I was surprised at though when you got approved her contract.
I know I tried to bring it to your attention. Before.
So
okay,
we need to have board discussion.
Well, thank you for being persistent.
Thank you. All right, now we need to refocus and have a motion for that item, which is to approve item 15F.
With the exception of the warrant
of
for
Quan Consulting.
Quan Consulting.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, roll call.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes. And so do we also go ahead and vote on that item separately as well?
Okay. Could you table it?
We'll table it until the next meeting. Thank you.
Is that okay, Ms. Schultz? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right. Next item is the adoption of resolution in the matter of uniform public construction cost accounting procedures. We have Ms. Douglas to give us information about that.
So this is one last lonely resolution for the CUPCA, which we've brought forward resolutions in previous board meetings. And in essence, what this resolution does is kind of narrow the scope of what would be covered under CUPCA. So routine maintenance would be something that we would exempt from the CUPCA process because of the time-consuming factors that it takes in order to track the projects that are being done on a routine basis for the employees to be able to handle the requirements of that act. So in essence, this resolution will be limiting and exempting the routine projects from the CUPCA and would just be moved forward as if any other regular process of the board, if you will.
Any other contract that we would have for maintenance services.
Right.
Okay, do we have any questions, Ms. Douglas?
No.
Okay, I need a motion.
I move approval.
Second.
Okay, that item is a roll call item.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes. Item 17 is adoption of proposed new board policy number 3470, debt issuance and management. Ms. Douglas.
So this is a new board policy that we do not currently have in place that is required for us to have in place with board approval prior to the issuance of any new debt. So this is coming forward to the board for approval. You'll know that there was a revision that came through, and we had some comments and some conversations going back and forth and made some adjustments. There was no substantive change to the original, just some language changes, but this would need to be is coming forward tonight for approval for the new regulations that came in place in January.
Are you responsible for us? Not, I mean, typically when we do any type of policy change, there's a
first
read, and then there's 30 days.
Yes.
Why are we not doing that?
In this particular case, I'm sorry, there was the point of view.
Go ahead.
Okay.
If you want to take it, or I can take it.
So yes, typically we come forward with a first reading, and then the next board meeting would be for approval for adoption. So in this particular case, we need to go out to market for our TRAN, and as you know, we have a TRAN, which is a mechanism that helps with our cash flow. We've had that in place for the last couple of years. In order for us to go out to market for our TRAN, this policy has to be put in place. So that's why this one's coming forward with the first.
CSBA recommended this policy change in December.
Yeah, but what happened here was this was on our radar for our next GO bond issuance. And so we had set it aside and we were going to adopt this sometime before the next GO bond, and quite honestly, we didn't know that it also covered the TRAN. And so, you know, when that was brought to our attention, you know, we realized that we have to move quickly in order to do this. But, you know, all of the language that is in there is consistent with all of our debt management in the past, and, you know, all of the bonds and the trans, even old forms like the qualified school construction bonds and the one time we did lease revenue bonds. It's all consistent with our existing policies and practices. And I do apologize that we had to move so quickly. It's why I included it in a message to the board earlier so that you'd have a little bit more time to read it and digest it.
But it's not always just the board. Yeah. It's, you know, the public has the right to weigh in on this. And I was going to vote no on it. I see that you've made some changes that were recommended by Mr. McDowell. I'm going to vote yes, but I just want to caution the administration that the reason that, I mean, this is what happened with the teacher's contract. I've seen this happen before on this board. The public should have the right, even though it may just be one person or nobody, 30 days to look at these things. This is millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars at stake, and it would be very good. Maybe there's somebody out there who might have something important that they could tell us or say about this or bring to our attention. So while I'm going to support it, I feel that it's not transparent or good government.
Well, I thank you for your support on this, and I think the board knows that this has not been a regular practice of us. There have been a few times when we've had to do one reading on a policy in an urgent situation, and you know this one happened to fall into that for us. So you know normally you do see the two readings, and you know we've got some up for first reading after we get through the next few items. So in almost every instance we're following our normal policy.
Well, I want to say thank you, Mr. McDowell, because he wrote in and then you were reactive. Mm-hmm. You changed the policy. So I want to thank you, Stephen, for reading that. And I know you've always been the watchdog and made a difference here. And also with everyone else who's spoken tonight, is that your input is important. Mm-hmm. And you're right. That's why I want to wait for a second reading so someone can speak up. We're lucky that Stephen did now. Mm-hmm. And thank you for reacting and changing that verbiage. Yep.
Okay. Thank you. And again, yes, I appreciate the willingness to make some changes, and I think that it just supported our commitment to making sure that we are following our commitment to our bond.
And I would say
to securing actually the public's trust in us on how we have financed our bonds and all of that. So thank you. Sorry. Excuse me. All right. I think that we now need a motion for this item.
I'll move approval. Second.
And this
As revised.
Thank you. As revised. Yes. Okay. And this is not a roll call. So all those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. All right, next item is adoption of resolution for the Neighborhood Reinvestment Program grant application. This is a public hearing, so I need to open the public hearing.
We have no comments.
We have no comments that have come in on this. I will close the hearing. And now we will have Mr. Miller give us information about this item.
So the Neighborhood Reinvestment Program provides grant funds to county departments, public agencies, and to nonprofit community organizations for one-time community, social, environmental, educational, cultural, or recreational needs. At the recommendation of Ms. Muir, we reached out to Supervisor Gaspar's office, and we are applying for a grant to provide funding for our annual college night and fair. And so this grant requires a public hearing, so it's here for you tonight, presented as an open hearing.
Okay, thank you. Now we need an adoption of the resolution, so I need a motion.
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, that item is roll call.
Ms. Muir?
Yes.
Ms. Hergesheimer?
Yes.
Mr. Salazar?
Yes.
Ms. D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Ms. Herman?
Yes. And item number 19, we have approval of an amendment to an agreement, and I would have Ms. Douglas introduce that item.
So this item is coming back to the board. It was brought to the board last month, I believe. And in essence, what this is for the two relocatable classrooms at Earl Warren. One of the first requests from our parents were to provide some more light. So this would be to add two additional windows and a door with a glass panel in the front as well. So this is coming forward to the board tonight for approval.
Do you have any questions from the board?
No.
Okay, I need a motion for that item.
I'll move approval.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Next are information items, and Ms. Douglas has information for us about La Costa Valley Fields.
So if you recall that we were in contract or negotiations, if you will, with the city of Carlsbad for facilities usage for the La Costa Valley Fields. And then at our last board meeting or in other conversations, what the message was that it was no longer a priority for the city. And so there was something that was posted in the newspaper. The city reached back out to us and said, that's misinformation. We really do want to continue to work with the school district. We want to have further conversations. Can we please schedule another meeting? I have a meeting to go out and talk to Parks and Rec next week to address that. I've reviewed a copy of the contract that we had in place before, so we'll be discussing that, making sure that it's a win for the district and that our students have first priority of the fields. So that's going to be taking place. In the meantime, what has happened is we have two organizations. One of the gentlemen came to the board meeting last month who was interested. So we have not stopped the use. They were actually have reached out to the principals to see what their need is for those fields first. And once we get all that information back from them, then we'll be opening it up for those two organizations that have requests in now. So we're not at a standstill in terms of allowing use. We will do that for those that do communicate with us, but we will see what the city has to say next week when we meet with them.
I guess I actually facilitated that. And as I called Matt Hall, who is the mayor of Carlsbad, and I wanted to find out what was going on, because it wasn't really clear what was going on here, and he said he was waiting for us to call back that no one had contacted him and that they actually had the site. And so when I told him that Eric had said that we weren't going to that, he said, well, no one's contacted us. We're waiting for us to put it on the your agenda and pass it, and then we were put on their agenda. He didn't know that you had said that they'd stopped contacting, they kept waiting for our information. Is that I still think, again, and I like Carlsbad, great people there, is that we still need to go out to the public for the use of this, is that what they're talking about with the soccer is that you're going to have to look into that contract before you go forward with that, because there's other caveats with that. And are we going to open this up to the public to find out what they want to do with the property? And that's one thing that I've been trying to get this whole time. It's our only piece of property that we have.
So, you know, we indicated in the Prop A bond measure that we were going to make this property available for community use once, our needs were mm-hmm. Met for athletics at that field. And so we've moved forward for students of San Ygito, and then after that for access for community use. And so that's why we developed the fields, and I'll get to you in a moment, Mrs. Hergesheimer. So that's why we moved forward and developed that property, which was raw land before and is now a set of fields. And then we began the discussions with the city of Carlsbad to partner with them, for them to operate it, because they operate public parks, and this looks a lot like a public park and not like a school site. And so, you know, they expressed an interest because it helped meet a need for public recreation in the city. It was going to offset our costs for maintenance and operations on that, and so that's how we started to move forward. So everything that we're doing is consistent with everything that we've said all along in the ballot measure. I've also had several face-to-face conversations with at their HOA meetings over the years, and Dan Love came with me to one of those. So, you know, we've been out in that specific community and then just also publicly mm-hmm. saying, this is what we're going to do with that facility. So this is just moving in that direction.
But we really haven't gone publicly, because you haven't had a community forum where we've let people know that this property is up. I mean, no one even knows what's going on. And when you tell me the mayor doesn't know what's going on, then that's an issue.
Well, that's you know, the city administration, that, you know, that's their communication, and so, you know, I can't comment on
what they're saying. We're talking about our communication with the community, and this would be a perfect time for outreach for us to find out what people want to do. We're talking about partnering with the community. This is where we could start with the property.
I think one of the concerns that I heard, and this was, I think, the evening when we were missing some of our staff, but that I would like to make sure we do address is we have our students who get priority, but there was concern, and I understand it, that if Carlsbad's the one managing it, Carlsbad groups will be what really get, and it's for our entire district, so that we need to have a way to make sure Encinitas or other locations don't get second-class consideration.
Sure, we really do want it to be a resource for our community, and you know, part of our community includes part of Carlsbad,
so
but other cities as well. And those have been the conversations that we've had with them, you know, up to a certain point, that we want to make sure that they're accommodating to community groups, and that's not just the Carlsbad community. That is our community.
So why aren't we reaching out to community to find out what their ideas are out there? Because we haven't done any of that. You know, what other uses could be happening, who could take this over, what other ideas they have. Instead, we've always been not looking out.
I'm just kind of at a loss of what's inconsistent with what we've been saying since 2012.
I've been on the board. Yeah. I have asked for that very. Even when Rick Schmidt was here, I asked for him to have a community forum on this piece of property that we could hear what the community wanted and how to go forward. Just like when we had our special workshop, we talked with the parents there. Mm-hmm. All these people have so many resources. Why aren't we reaching out to them to find out their expertise? Mm-hmm. And you know, then we could have collaboration and partnership instead of something happen and then we have to react again.
Yes, and I will say that that who we focused on primarily are the residents around that, because they're going to be the most impacted, and that's why I've had conversations with the HOA group and have stood out in front of there, because those are the folks that are most interested in how that property would be used, since it's right in their neighborhood and in some case right under their homes. And so, you know, so I have taken input from them about lights and noise and hours of operation and those sorts of issues, to make sure that that community is still accepting of that property and how we use it, because we don't want to anger the neighbors either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, any other questions, Ms. Douglas, on this? So we'll be getting an update at our next meeting about this. Now we have some proposed new and revised board policies for nutrition services.
So there are several of them coming forward to the board tonight for approval, and many of them are very old, going back to 2003. So in essence, we're just taking the CSBA guidelines, if you will, and kind of bringing them all up to current based on new regulations that have come into play. We're waiting on the super snack regulations to come out so we could just bring them all forward in one group. So we have all that, and that's what's forward here tonight for our first reading.
Thank you.
Okay, great. And if there are any questions before the next meeting, contact Ms. Dennis about that. Next item is a proposed new and revised board policies on administrative services, and we have a public comment from Wendy Gum on item 22C.
Okay, so I'm going to volunteer for the policy committees. So if you guys need help researching and doing policy updates, because you have a ton of them, I'm really nerdy for regulations, so I am more than happy to volunteer my time a few hours a week to help you guys update policies, because some of these have not been updated. There was one, like 1971 was the last time somebody looked at it, and that's this one, 6145.2, which you guys said that you're updating tonight as the athletic competition. And so I sent an email out giving you guys all the heads up, and so I'm assuming, because this is just a time to look at it, that you guys aren't going to prove it tonight wrong. So as I mentioned, so the rule policy is supposed to be 6145.4 is the current policy, and it's really, really detailed compared to what the one you guys put forward. It actually talks about sports at the senior level, what are CIF sports in the original policy, what boys' sports are, what girls' sports are. It wasn't updated since 2001,
It also talks about the different sportsmanship in competition, the coaching assignments for all of the sports that the district proposes. So I think it's really important to actually look at the existing policy before you just take CSBA's off gamut and update a policy that you already have in place. Also, too, please remember that CSBA's policies are just guidelines that meet state requirements, but we're a very unique district in the state, and so that we should be incorporating our specific LEA's culture and community into our board policies. So I just want to make sure that you guys take that into consideration as well. I wanted to also say last thing that I was really excited that you guys talked about in here about, and actually it's already in here, but that the superintendent or designee shall ensure that students participating in interscholastic athletics by CIF satisfy CIF eligibility requirements. Students shall not be charged a fee to participate in an athletic program. And then you added new language that says, including but not limited to a fee to cover the cost of uniforms, locks, lockers, or athletic equipment. You also need to add transportation because you can't charge for transportation once the kids are on campus. But this needs to be highlighted really bold, and the policy really needs to be given to the foundation because, honestly, I do not think they understand the school policies. So that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And there are a number of items
yeah,
that I know.
Yeah, we can. Mr. Miller was taking notes right there, but I'll say with the policy numbering, we're in the midst of doing a massive overhaul as we're readopting policies to align with the CSBA numbers. And so in some instances, the old number doesn't line up with the new number or vice versa. And in some instances for a while, we're going to have two numbers that are the same, but the headings are going to be different for the policies until we get all of that change. And so we've been working through that. And Ms. Schultz and I were talking about that a couple days ago about how to make sure everything is online, even if it doesn't look like it matches up with the right number, just to make sure that we've got everything that's been adopted by the board in its most current form on our website.
So can we clarify which board policy we're replacing when we do that, especially as we're posting them and revising them and linking to that so it's not as confusing?
I think in the past that some of them we were following CSBA numbers and others we were creating our own policies, and so we used a number and then later wanted to use a CSBA policy when the number was already there. So there was a lot of that when we look back at the history, and so now we're just trying to get everything cleaned up.
Okay, and I know this has been a tremendous effort to get the policies updated, and there are some at CSBA that have encouraged us just to accept the gamut policies, but I feel that it's important that we as a district look at our policies and make them and adapt them to our own culture and our own policies. So I'm in favor of doing that. I think that's where the confusion has come, and
I'll even say that the debt policy that was agreed to earlier didn't exactly follow CSBA language, and that that we took out some things that would have given us more discretion than we wanted. And so, particularly on the terms of bonds. And so we took that language out because it didn't meet our district's practices. So we do review these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Thank you. Were there any more questions related to this? Again, this will be up for approval next board meeting. Okay, we have item number 23, the annual report of the Personnel Commission. Ms. Frizzi.
Yes, so annually our Personnel Commission, who's responsible for our recruitment, selection, classification, training, and retention of classified employees, they do an annual report. And within this report, as you've probably seen in your information, this last year they actually ended up doing 49 recruitments, and of those 49 recruitments, they welcomed 57 new classified employees. So it's been busy for our Personnel Commission, and they do an excellent job. Any questions?
How come we don't have anybody from the Personnel Commission here?
From Susan? She could have come this evening, but I, based upon what she gave to me, I felt like I could go ahead and field any other questions. She was here last month as well.
We've got Pat Spirit. Who else is on the Personnel Commission? Who else is on the Personnel Commission?
Terry King.
Terry King.
And John Baird.
How come we don't have someone from them?
Oh, you mean the board, Personnel Commission board themselves. I don't know that they would normally come to a governing board meeting to report from the Personnel Commission to the governing board. This is why the written report is presented. So Susan Dixon, who is our Director of Classified Personnel, she presents this report to her commission. It's her commission that hires her. And then this is the a review of this report is then put as a just a report to you as a governing board.
We've never got an update from them. It would be nice if we got an update.
Okay. Thanks. We can talk to them about that.
Okay, thank you.
Item number 24, Mrs. Douglas, do you have any more to update us on?
Sure. So just yesterday, actually, I had a meeting with all of the executive directors of the foundations in relation to facilities usage. So we're working on changing the process and how we go about handling that for the future. We also have two meetings coming up next week to talk about best practices in relation to fundraising and donations and things of that nature that's coming up as well.
And that'll be on your calendar tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I've been busy.
Welcome. Good.
Thank you.
Can you elaborate on the foundation, the facilities? What does that mean? That's kind of like an overview. Can you drill down on that?
For facilities usage?
Yes.
So in essence, we have a board policy in place that allows foundations to use facilities with no fee, if you will, the fees waived for the foundation. And so we have a process in place that we've gone away from the spirit of the board policy in the sense of how facilities usage is provided by for foundations. So we as a district are going to be doing facilities usage ourselves. So you've heard some comments from the public about foundations sponsoring, if you will, other organizations to come and use facilities. We're going to go back to the spirit of the board policy where the events that the foundation will be sponsoring would be true foundation-sponsored events that directly impact and benefit our students. But as of yesterday, facilities use requests are all going directly to our facilities department. And so that's one of the things that we've made a change on.
Yeah, so we're going to have to phase some of that in, right. But that's the direction we're headed.
So I also have a comment. As I saw that you were talking about, or it was on the update from Eric, is that you're going to have the meeting. Who's going to be coming to the meetings next week?
Next week, we've invited all the principals. We've invited all the executive director of the foundations. We've invited athletic directors, and we've invited PTSA presidents. Anyone really that is involved in foundations, we've invited foundation presidents.
So I'd like to make a comment about that is that when I saw that, and I'm sure you probably have kids that went through high school, is it's kind of like the same people stay on the board. Is that instead of just having the person who's at the top, you need the whole board there so that there's no miscommunication the next year. So then they all will follow the same. Everyone's on the same page. And because usually that person who's usually the person who's head of it maybe has phasing out, and so they're not going to be sharing that information, and then we can have everyone on board. We don't have to do this again.
We need to Well, I personally feel like it needs to be an ongoing conversation and not just one.
Right.
So we will also have a makeup for those that, because there are some people that we're not going to be able to get. So I ask anybody who cannot make it to let me know, and then I'll have an additional session for those that can't come.
Okay. But you're going to, I think you should vote the whole board.
Yes, we can do that.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Educational services update, Dr. Grove?
Yep, just do heavy in the planning and preparation for our professional development next week. Our teachers come back on Tuesday of next week. They have Tuesday, Wednesday preparation, setting up the classrooms, getting prepared, all of that. And then Thursday is the district professional development day. They'll be working with their colleagues in their district-wide departments. So the math department will be all together and a full day of professional development on Thursday. Friday is a site-based professional development day, so they're back on their school sites. 3-day weekend, and then we will be welcoming back somewhere in the neighborhood of 13,000 students on Tuesday. So.
Great.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we have human resources update. It's for Z.
Yes, several of you spoke earlier about our new teacher orientation that was held this week for 2.5 days, and I have to do a shout-out to John the Julio, and Doug Gilbert for doing such an outstanding job of organizing the event. I mean, I was very impressed by how they had put that together, and obviously our other bits of support providers that were there as well. So it was really, really wonderful. And then, you know, my team is busy getting all the final touches on hiring for the new school year, and it's right upon us. So we're very, very excited about that.
Great. Thank you. Next, Mr. Miller with Administrative Services Update.
All right. So my computer actually ran out of juice. So, so the board policy 5141-52 around suicide, suicide prevention, and I can't see. Let me just make it bigger. So just as draft work last year to develop curriculum around suicide prevention, and staff did an extensive training on Monday with our counselors and some of our administrators on implementing that curriculum, as well as how to utilize resources, as well as one of the board policies addressed Section 504. We also held an extensive training last Friday with our counselors and assistant principals around implementing Section 504, especially around some of our new policies and procedures.
Great. Thank you very much. Any questions? Okay. Are there future agenda items?
Yes. Yes. I guess it wasn't clear when I emailed you about the Parent Curriculum Advisory Committee. Yes, I'd like to have that in the next agenda, and I think we should change that. And I'm not even sure if it's the committee we have is... that is how we can have community engagement.
So, and that's what I needed clarification on. So you were talking about the Parent Curriculum
Advisory Committee.
Okay, and...
because they have reported back.
Maybe Dr. Grove can talk about the...
Dr. Grove, could you tell us about...
what is it that I'm not clear what you want?
So, so if you could just give us an overview of the Parent Curriculum Advisory Committee and the work that they do.
So we meet with them quarterly, essentially, and it's a... One parent from each of our schools is represented on that, and they really are an advisory group. They primarily serve in that role. It's an opportunity for them to give feedback and input on curricular issues, and it's an opportunity for me when we're talking about, when we're going through the transition to Common Core, as we're now looking at the transition to next generation science standards, to kind of say, here's kind of our decision-making process around how we're going to look at our course sequence for science, and here are some options that we're thinking about, presenting it to them, getting feedback so that I can take that and share that with teachers as we're making those decisions. They play a formal role when we do instructional materials adoptions, that we go, they go through a process of kind of review, and then we also do public meetings when we do instructional materials for all of our parents. So it's really, most of their work is informal. The only formal duty they have is approval on instructional materials.
Right. So I was looking at, you don't have it with you, it's the C3E, it's in there, it's 6161. It is, they also do undesirable, unsatisfactory subject matter as indicated by suggestions, comments from teachers, students, parents, and administrators. And also on this committee, you're supposed to have community members with the teachers, and I guess you said the parents, student committees, and administrators.
So there's no teachers on it, it's purely parents.
It's purely parents. When it says here, review, made con request of community members, teachers, is that, and we haven't gotten any feedback from them. As you're talking about suggestions and undesirable subject matter, I mean, when will we get that kind of information, what they have reviewed?
Haven't.
We've never had any?
Not in my
negative
tenure.
Comments from this committee?
Well, what that is if there's a parent who disagrees with something, say, in a textbook, or they disagree with a novel that's being taught and they want us to remove it from our curriculum, that's, I think, the piece that you're referring to. Mm-hmm. And we haven't had an issue like that come up.
Okay, so when are we going to have some instant on curriculum from the community? Because, so, I mean, like when they're talking about... I mean, I got to tell you something, I've reached out to the community, and all I've heard about is the math, and that's why this whole policy changed, is that when will we have some input from the parents on curriculum, how that's going, because we have it. I've been on the board for 3 years, nothing, no meeting, we haven't had any presentations on anything.
As we came into the math, what, we did.
Yeah, as we were going into Common Core, and we...
I've been on the board for 3 years, we've never had anything, nothing, since I've been here.
but we've been going into different areas. And there's been no feedback about anything.
As we were implementing Common Core, and we did that over several years, you know, I will say that Dr. Grobe and Mr. Schmidt attended more public meetings than I think they have in any other time, you know, as they were working on doing that.
Implementation is going. Can I say something? I don't know if all of your, is that the parents do have strong feelings about this, and I want to find out about what's going on with the math.
So could we, would you like a specific item on math? A math update?
Yes, on the curriculum.
Okay, because I know that we'll be looking at next generation science and that adoption, mm-hmm. and so I know we will be gearing up again and getting information about.
Similar to what we did as we were making the transition to Common Core, we will probably somewhere in this spring go out and do the information nights, just like we did as we did the transition to Common Core. We will do it at each of our school sites, and then also coordinate meetings for our feeders, because a lot of our families in the feeder districts, these changes will impact, so we want to inform them and seek input mm-hmm. from them, just as we did as we were making our previous transition.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Okay, if there's nothing else, I will adjourn the meeting. Thank you.